Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Well, welcome to the table, everyone. My name is Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, ladies. We're talking today about something that's very, very hard to do, but it is something that the Lord asks us to do, and that is self-control. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and nearly impossible for any of us to exhibit it without Him.
And sorry, ladies, you're going to be hearing about self-control even in the Bible study today. So.
Exactly. So it's a whole day, but we do hope you stick around. Because this is a very important topic, isn't it?
It is. So back away from the Snickers bar and let's get started here.
Alrighty.
Well, and we know it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, self-control is. And we know that self-control is really hard. I mean, controlling impulses is something that we all struggle with daily, even believers. And if you don't believe that, then look at Romans chapter 7. Paul talks at length about how he struggles to do what he wants to do and what he knows is right because his flesh is always fighting against him.
Yes, and when we are born again Christians, ladies, we have that sin nature still in us. It's forgiven. The Lord has taken that upon himself upon the cross, but we still struggle in the flesh. We do. There's no getting away from that until we are glorified, but we also have the Spirit of God, that grace in us, the Holy Spirit, who gives us that grace to walk away from sin, to walk away and help us to exhibit self-control.
What a blessing that is.
Yeah.
So Philippians 2:13 says that it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And you look back in Philippians 1, I think it's verse 6, where it also says that we are sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will continue it until it is completed at Christ Jesus' return. So now that's Nancy's paraphrase. Look that one up yourself. But I think that we can take great comfort in that God is transforming us more and more into the image of Christ Jesus when we have surrendered to his lordship.
Yeah, and you know, ladies, on a daily basis, as we're walking with the Lord, it isn't easy. And of course, our ability to control ourselves involves all sorts of things, moderation, constraint, the ability to say no to our basic desires. And Nancy, you started out by telling people to back away from the Snickers bars. Well, for me, it's actually the Heath bar that really tempts me. I mean, I'm not a sweets person. I normally navigate toward the salty chips in the basket whenever I'm somewhere, but I do love Heath bars, and it's very, very hard. But we were at a conference one time recently with Dave Wager up at Silver Birch Ranch, and he's a good friend of this ministry and on our board here. And Dave talked about, you know, if you can just have a little victory. He says, for me, it's putting down the candy bar. So I don't mean this program to be all about candy bars, but significantly, it just so happens to be my weakness, too. And so if I can just put down that candy bar one time and walk away, hey, that's a little victory, you know, and thank you, Lord, for that. So it does help.
And I notice as I continue in this journey with him, I notice that it's getting easier and easier to say no to my flesh at times. I am not nearly the shopaholic that I used to be. And I know my husband, you know, is very thankful for that. Absolutely. We went to an art fair up in Door County a couple of weekends ago, and he's like, wow, you've really gotten a lot better at this than you were when we first got married. So, and that is thankfully the work of the Holy Spirit in me. Now, what is our job? Our job is to cooperate with him. We need to realize 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We all know that. But we need to understand that what this does, this new life we've been given and the Holy Spirit to guide us, it gives us the ability to say no. we quote 1 Corinthians 10:13 on this show a lot.
Yeah.
And that one we all know, and once again, this is Nancy's paraphrase, so look it up yourself. That one talks about how he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But even when we are tempted to that breaking point, he will always show us a way out. So are we looking for the way out? Or are we looking for excuses to rationalize why we should eat that Snickers bar or spend all that money or do whatever it is that indulges our flesh?
And, you know, these seem to be small things. A Snickers bar, I mean, come on, right? But in, how far does this go? How important is this to the Lord? Well, in his letter to the Romans, Paul goes so far as to tell us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And so when you put it in that perspective and you're reading this in Scripture, you have to realize how important it is that we are all his. And now, this is not legalism at all. Self-control is something that, again, very, very hard to do. And we want to do it why? Not to make ourselves thinner or anything like that, but to please God.
Yeah. Here's what it really boils down to. It boils down to idolatry, getting rid of the idols in your life. And an idol can be anything that you turn to soothe your flesh, to comfort you, to take away pain. It could be alcohol. It could be chocolate. It could be shopping. It could be TV or sports. Anything that you are turning to instead of God, anything that you are putting ahead of God at any given moment. This isn't like, oh, yes, I have one big idol in my life and that's what I'm struggling with. No, this is a moment-to-moment thing. I remember reading once that when Martin Luther would wake up in the morning before he would even let his feet hit the floor, he would have to remind himself and say, I am crucified with Christ. Yeah. I am baptized with Christ. So every second of the day, we need to remind ourselves that we are no longer our own. We have been bought with a price. And as such, we need to look at the long-term good for us and for the kingdom instead of just the instant gratification that the world offers us.
Well, and speaking of the world, I mean, just look at our culture around it. It makes indulging in self so easy and so that we are entitled to it, right? Because, well, we deserve to indulge our flesh, not just sometimes, but all the time. You know, I mean, look at America, for instance. Our lack of self-control in this nation, very, very obvious. Look at the obesity rates. Look at, you know, the heartburn. We're always popping these little purple pills, right? Because we've overindulged. People always want more, yet we're never happy. And so we max out our credit cards. We just get another one. We take energy drinks in the morning or coffee. And then at night, we have to take something to help us sleep better. This is ridiculous. And so this is how easy it is in our culture to get caught up in this, Nancy. And for the Christian, we are called to be set apart from that.
We are. We have to remember we have been given the mind of Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:16. And we have the ability to take every thought captive.
Yeah.
That's where it all starts.
It
Those
does.
Sinful impulses, it really starts with thoughts in our minds where we want something and we immediately start rationalizing and justifying why we should have it. And sometimes it can be things that sound good, like, for instance, working hard. Well, that can become sacrificing everything else that God wants you to take care of. Every other responsibility he's given you in order to put in all the work at your employers and to climb the corporate ladder and to earn more and more money. And it's not always what God's will is for your life.
You know, self-control has benefits when we resist that temptation with the Lord's help. And so we want to make sure that you understand this is for strengthening our faith and pleasing God. And that's why we're talking about this today.
You know, Peter also talks about how our enemy roars around like a roaring, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And the ones he's looking to devour are the ones that are weakened by separation from the Holy Spirit and its influence because they're listening too much to their flesh.
Well, ladies, and again, we could say so much more about self-control. We are going to be talking about this in our Bible study today. Of course, self-control, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, that Bible study lesson needs to start here. So we're going to set this conversation aside, not much of it, because self-control is sort of the theme about what you're going to hear about next. But our teacher, Beth Seifert, is going to put this all in biblical context for us, and she's going to do that right now.
It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, we're back in the book of Galatians today on day 29 of our study. And again, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. I've titled this lesson, Self-Control. Today, we're going to go cover the final fruit of the Spirit and then tie all of this together. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Self-control, the final fruit of the Spirit listed here. In a lot of ways, this to me ties most of the other fruit of the Spirit together. Think about it. A lack of control on your own heart, your own emotions, your own state, leads quickly to impatience with others, unkindness towards others, a lack of joy, a lack of peace, an inability to persevere when things get hard, and even a lack of gentleness and humility. Amazing, isn't it? In doing a little research on this topic, I found a couple of words that I like better than self-control here. The reason I bristle at self-control is because the implication is that you can do it yourself. And you can't. This too is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit, not something that comes from us. When you see self-control in others, it isn't because of how amazing they are, it's because of how gracious God is. When you see self-control taken to the extreme, we see people who can't release control of anything around them because they've gotten so used to holding the reins that they have no idea that they are really not in control of anything. So, one of the words that I prefer to self-control is temperance, but even that doesn't quite get to my gut feeling about this characteristics. I think continence is actually a better word. Now, stay with me here. Continence, when we hear it, is often associated with, well, bodily functions, right? We say someone is incontinent when they can't control their bodily functions, so it would make sense that if they can control their bodily functions, they are continent. Now, stay with me some more. Here's why I like that word. Because in my head, as soon as I read that word, the reality popped into my head that when we are not continent in our lives, in our actions, our words, our heart motives, etc., we tend to, well, expel that nastiness on everyone around us. I know it's a little bit of an ick allegory, especially around lunchtime, but it's true, isn't it? When I have no continence, that affects more than myself. It affects all those around me. I'm impatient with my sons. I am not peaceful, and so I transmit that tension to all those around me. I can't finish a task. Think about it. If you've ever dealt with physical incontinence, your world revolves around the bathroom. There is no patience because when you gotta go, you gotta go. There's no peace because you never know when you're gonna have to rush for the bathroom. It's difficult to concentrate long enough to finish a task because that emergency feeling can come on at any moment. When we are spiritually incontinent, everything revolves around our own wants and desires with little, if any, consideration of others. Along with that, spiritual continence also helps us to say no to ungodly passions and desires that are at war within us. Titus 2, verses 11 through 15 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. It is only by God's grace that we are able to live self-controlled lives on this earth. We fight against our wicked flesh as he continues to purify us. We fight that desire to take the second look at that attractive person, the urge to have just one more drink, one more new gadget, one more movie, one more whatever it is, the desire to make everything look perfect on the outside while there is a war raging in our flesh. There is a reason that self-control is listed as a requirement for leadership in the church in Titus 1:8. We can see continence demonstrated in those people around us who do show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and faithfulness in their lives. We can see how the Spirit works in them to help them refuse to indulge their own sinful desires, but instead to seek to show love when it's hard, peace when everything around them is chaos, kindness when they've been hurt, gentleness when they don't know where they're being led, and faithfulness when it's hard and the end is nowhere in sight. Okay, so now we're going to read back through Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 25 and pull all of this together. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Do you see how love from the Spirit is the opposite of hatred from the flesh? And how joy is opposite discord and jealousy? How peace is the opposite of fits of rage, dissensions, factions? How faithfulness is the opposite of idolatry and witchcraft? How continence is opposite to adultery, sexual immorality, drunkenness, and orgies? It all very much goes together. And goodness and gentleness are opposite to pretty much everything on the acts of the flesh list. Ladies, our fleshly desires are literally opposite and opposed to the Spirit's work within us. Thus, whenever we see those fruit in others, we know they do not come from the person, but from God. Verse 24 reminds us that if we truly belong to Christ, our fleshly, sinful desires and passions are put to death with Christ on the cross. They are destroyed by his sacrifice, and their power over us is gone. Now, don't get me wrong. You aren't suddenly going to live a perfect life. Sin is still within us. Sin still has an impact on us, but sin no longer has mastery over us. We are no longer slaves to sin. The overall pattern we will see in our lives is one of seeking God and his righteousness, not our own selfish gain. We will hate the sin we have inside of us, even as we find ourselves still falling to that sin. But when we look with a wide view, we will see that the direction of our feet is opposite to those sins, even if we still look back and trip and fall at times. Verse 25 tells us that when we walk by the Spirit, we have gained access to what we were supposed to have all along. You see, death entered this world through sin. Not just physical death either, but sin has set us up to have to pay a spiritual death as well because of our sins. Ladies, we can't save ourselves. Only when we repent of our sins, and remember, that means agreeing with God that you are sinning, stopping the sin and turning and going the other way, and accept Christ as your Lord and Master, only then do we become free from the law of sin and death. So let us not only live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit as well. Let us not only be alive, but let us continue moving and growing and learning thanks to his Spirit which indwells us. Now, one caution that Paul includes is that we don't get big-headed about this. It isn't through our own ability or power that we're able to walk with God. It's through his grace and the Spirit's power that we are changed. We need to be careful that we understand the difference between encouraging one another and elevating ourselves above our brothers and sisters. God has given each of us unique gifts and abilities to use for his purpose. If you find that all the avenues you've tried to be successful with the gifts you have have ended without success, perhaps it's time to check and see how you're using the gift he gave you. We need to stop wanting what others have and start blooming where we're planted. Stop wanting that position and stop boasting in ourselves and realize that it is all about God. Remember that toe on the body is a very important part for balance and maneuverability. Don't look down on others who are the toes of the body. And don't look down upon where God has placed you if you are a toe. Take joy in helping balance the body and bloom where you are at. I guess my question today is this. Do you see how all of these fruit work together? Do you see how our continence ties this all up and that our continence comes from the work of the Holy Spirit? Now the hard part. Do you see evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life? Don't look at the people around you. Ask yourself if you are truly changed since you put on Christ. Are you truly different, or have you simply added church to your list of to-dos? This is not another list of to-dos, ladies. Are you allowing Christ to truly crucify the passions of your flesh? Or are you still insisting that God has a spot in your life and that that's good enough? It's not enough, ladies. He wants all of you. Are you going to submit to him, or are you going to continue to rely on your own strength? Sooner or later, you will find that you are not sufficient. And when that happens, will your response come out of humility or out of dissension? Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, Day 29, Self-Control.
Alrighty, well, that was our lesson in self-control, and we just thank Beth for this. And these Bible studies are so incredible, Nancy. But again, this theme for the program today is about taking captive our thoughts, controlling our actions. Again, not easy to do.
No, and realizing that we really can't do it on our own. We can only do this through God. But I like how she talked about how the self-control really wraps up all the other fruit that we are given through the Holy Spirit in that. And I had heard that if you read through those fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, all of those are progressive. Yeah. And so you can't move on to the joy until you have the love. You can't move on to the peace until you have the joy. And so they build on each other.
So really, you can't have self-control unless you're in that Holy Spirit mode where the Spirit is just pouring these gifts into you, these fruits, I should say, and it exhibits ultimately in that ability to walk away from sin, to walk away from idolatry, as we talked about in the first part of this program. That is a power that the Holy Spirit gives us, gives all of his children.
And I like how she brought in the old King James, I guess, that called the self-control temperance or continence. And I think all of us, especially women over 50, can relate to the continence part, holding in our sinful behavior, our sinful attitudes, our sinful emotions. And it's something that really comes through practice as you more and more allow the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts, guide your emotions, guide your attitudes.
It has to be part of our prayer life too, Nancy. We have to be able to pray for that self-control. You know, Lord, help me. I can't do this on my own. And you know, the Apostle Paul talks about it in terms of running a race. When you run the race well, not that you're not going to stumble from time to time, but we want to please God. We need that stamina. And self-control, you can't run the race well without that self-control.
No, you really can't. And, you know, she talked about what does it look like when you're trying to do it on your own efforts instead of through the Holy Spirit. And she said, if you're concerned about looking perfect on the outside, but inside your flesh is churning, then that means you're trying to do it on your own. And sadly, I know a lot of Christians out there who are churning. They had that desire to put on the church face and go on Sunday, and how is everything going? Oh, just great, fine, yeah, okay. And inside, they're just torn up.
Yeah.
And you don't realize what a gift it is to have the fellowship of our brothers and sisters who can minister to you when you're struggling.
Yeah.
When you try to do it on your own, you are going to be unsettled. You are not going to be at peace. You're not going to be in harmony. You're going to be really fighting against that Holy Spirit that's at work within you.
And, you know, I think that's very common of brand new baby Christians. And I remember how hard that was for me very first in the very beginning. And, you know, I would look at this church life and I'd put on that happy face. I thought that's what it was supposed to be about, not realizing anything about the Holy Spirit, knowing that God was supposed to be transforming me, and I just didn't really have an understanding of it. I just knew that Jesus loved me and died for me on that cross, and I wanted to do anything to please Him. I just had no idea until I really cracked open the Word of God what this was really about.
Oh, absolutely. And I think something else that new believers take for granted is that we are going to still sin. But yeah. What is your attitude towards that sin? In verse 24, she talked about if we're truly belonging to Christ, that we are going to hate our sin.
Yeah.
Repentance is a gift, ladies. Embrace it.
Yes, indeed, every day. You know, Nancy, as we close out this program and you know, final thoughts about self-control, it is to our benefit to actually practice it. That is something that we can do, baby steps. But again, the result yield much fruit for us.
Yes, and no comparing yourself to others
right.
either with it. Well, the final verses that we're going to share with you today are from 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 3, and he talks about how this all builds and really confirms our calling in Christ. So starting at verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. That is so encouraging. Ladies, we are going to be continuing tomorrow in this lesson, and I just want to let you know that this book of Galatians will wrap up on Monday, and after that, we're going to tackle Jonah, a wonderful, wonderful biblical story, and then after that, boy, we've got Lori Williams is going to take on the true and false doctrines found in 1 John. Ruth Christian is going to be back with us this summer, doing a study on Ecclesiastes. And then we've got a new person, Don Madel, who's going to be doing the book of James. So a big summer full of Bible studies. If you miss any of them, and we totally understand if you need to do that, we've got podcasts of all of our Bible studies, and you can catch up anytime. I'm so glad you're with us, though, now. And hopefully you'll be back at the table tomorrow for our Friday edition. Until then, have a blessed day in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.